Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I've never been shy at admitting that I do not have a green thumb. I have quite the brown thumb, and God likes to remind me of this. Several weeks ago, the kids and I got sent to Lowe's for a school project to pick up bean seeds for a science project that Kylie's class was doing. And number one, I first got overwhelmed by how many bean seeds there were. I was told bean seeds and had to stand there and go, is it green beans? Is it lima beans? What kind of beans is it? So Kylie's teacher got like 10 packet of beans because I didn't want to get the wrong beans. But while we're standing there and I'm staring at the beans, what happens but my kids get very big-eyed at all the colorful pictures, and what do they say? Mom, can we please plant something? Well, what do you want to plant? Fruits and vegetables! And I look at them and say, we live in an apartment! Number one, please, Mom, we really want to. And my brain's going, I'm terrible at this. I'm terrible at this every time we try this, but I want to make my kids happy, right? All right, let's figure it out. Okay, maybe we can plant an herb garden. That's something we can do, right? So each of them got to pick an herb. One of them picked rosemary, and one of them picked basil, and one of them picked parsley. They don't eat any of these things, but they wanted to see them grow. Said, all right, so we get the seeds and we head to the outside section and we find a long container, and I'm like, yeah, this will fit on the ledge of the little patio that we have. And we go and we find the what we think's the right bag of soil that we can plant these seeds in. And here we Dixons proudly head home with our little project. And we get there and we put the soil in there all nice and neat, everybody getting to scoop with the cup in and smoothing it out, and we're reading the directions on the packet of how far they have to be spaced apart and how deep they have to be and how much water they need. I'm telling you, I'm not good at this stuff. I gotta read everything. So everybody gets to make their little hole, and everybody's putting their little seeds in and covering it up, and we're watering it and out to the patio. We put it out there on the ledge so proudly where it's going to get sun and maybe a little rain, and we're going to take care of our herb garden, right? And so the kids are being good, and every time they're at my place, Mom, we got to check on the herb garden. We got to make sure it needs water. Okay, and we're giving it enough water in. Weeks go by and we're waiting, and all of a sudden right there in the middle, this little green pokes out, and here's Maddie's herb that's growing, and it's like, oh, one of them's gonna grow. We've got something going, and staring at the other two, and it keeps growing, and a week later, boop, up pops Kylie's little plant, and it's like 2 out of 3, and little Aiden's like, where's mine? And I'm like, we'll have to wait, buddy, and pray over it, and so it goes, and we got a couple more weeks, and now they're not just little tiny, they're getting some inches on them, at least Kylie and Maddie's, and still no sign of Aiden's little plant, but here they're coming, and then guess what happened? We got like torrential rains, didn't we? And what happened when the torrential rains came? You would think that this would be a good thing, feeding our seeds and our little plants, but it flooded the little plant bucket so much, and there weren't very good roots to those tiny little plants, and they died in all that rain. And so what did we have? But we have poor little Aiden that never even sprouted, and then Kylie and Maddie that got ruined by the rain. And I once again said, God does not want me to plant things, right? Don't ever give me a plant, y'all, because I will kill it faster than you can say, happy pastor, okay? Because it doesn't make me happy every time I kill something. It's true. One time I was given a cactus, and a person said, you can't kill it. It's a cactus. It doesn't need water. It doesn't need sun. You can't kill it. And 3 months later, it was dead in my office. So it's a good thing I have the talents that I do have, because that's not one of them. But it made me think of this parable of the sower. Because here Jesus tells the story of a farmer that was just like the kids and I, that goes out to plant seeds, and what does he desire? But he desires a crop, okay? A crop of probably like wheat or grains or something like that, but here he wants a crop, and it says there's a variety of places that his seed falls as he's working on growing his garden. And Jesus says the first one falls upon the path, And what happens? But the seed that's exposed on the path, the birds come and they pick it up and they carry it away, and the seed never even gets a chance to grow. And where's the second set of seeds? But the second set of seeds, it doesn't fall on the path. It falls in the rocky places. And here it actually gets in the ground, and he says it begins to grow, but then the sun comes out, and because it has no root, it withers and it dies. Plant number two that's been Dixon-fied, okay? So number three ends up falling upon the thorny patch, right? And it says, here it grows and it's coming up strong, but then the thorns end up coming and choking that plant and ends up dying just as well. And he says, finally, there's that last group of seed and it falls on the good soil. And what happens in the good soil? But it grows strong roots and it comes up and gives crops 30, 60, 100 times over. Now the disciples hear this story and they're like, we understand farming, we understand seeds, and we understand all this, but what's the point, Jesus? Why do you tell us this story? And Jesus essentially says, I tell it to confuse the people that aren't supposed to hear it, and those that are supposed to hear it will understand. But he tells them, what is the purpose of this parable? And he said, the seed is God's word. The seed is God's word, and so God is the farmer. And God is spreading his seed, his word, all over the earth. And Jesus says it falls in a variety of places depending on the individual. And he says the first falls on the path. Now, what's the purpose of the path? The purpose of the path is to be secure and solid ground for people to walk on, for animals to walk on, for carts to be carried on. And so what does it need to be? It needs to be hard. It needs to be compact. It needs to be able to take the weather without wearing away, ideally. And so what happens when seed falls on this hard, compacted ground? It can't penetrate it. It can't get inside the ground. And a seed must get inside the ground to be able to grow. And so here the seed can't get in the ground. It can't get into the protection of the soil. It can't get where it grows. And so birds come and carry it away. And these are the hard-hearted people. These are the people whose minds are closed and hearts are hardened. And so when they hear God's word, it can't penetrate into their being. These are the ones that are too skeptical to hear it. These are the ones that believe they're too intelligent to hear it. These are the people who desire not to understand the word, desire not to have anything to do with God or the church or Jesus. They are just shut off to all of it. And so they hear people of faith. They see the billboards. They see the articles. They hear the witnessing stories, and it just bounces right off of them, because they have no desire for that seed to be planted in them. And so here's what happens. The world takes that word and just carries it away, and it's never able to be planted in them. So Jesus says there's the second kind, that seed that falls in the rocky places. And this one I most often see in those that are the situational Christians, okay? The biggest situational Christians happened on 9/11. Churches were packed. And why were churches packed? Because people were scared and they needed a place to turn. And that's when they suddenly had faith, when they needed above the answers of this world and the help that it could offer. So here people came flooding in, and faith was sprung up on that day. When tragedy strikes, when needs come, people find that need for God, and they find that they're ready to hear the word, and they're ready for God's help. But it says in those rocky places, the roots didn't get very far in, and when life hit, it withered away. Kind of like Kylie and Maddie's plants. They didn't have much root, and so when the flood came, they got washed away. When that faith springs up overnight and doesn't get any maturity to it, doesn't develop that faith, doesn't put any time or effort in, and when the when the calm comes after the storm, that faith just kind of fades away because it's not needed anymore. Or number two, when it doesn't get those roots and another tragedy strikes, out of doubt and frustration, that faith is dug up and pushed away. You see, those roots sometimes just aren't strong enough to withstand the pressures that can be put against it. And Jesus says these are the ones in the rocky places. Sometimes it's when we have those mountaintop experiences. Those mountaintop experiences where God collides with our life in a situation. Maybe it's in a weekend retreat or a project that we have or an experience that we have with people, and it like lights this fire under us and we're having this mountaintop experience. It's God and me, and we are just gonna conquer the world. But what happens eventually, you gotta come down from that mountaintop. You gotta come back into the reality of life. And when you come back into the reality of life, faith just kind of gets left back up on that mountain because it didn't have the roots to carry with it into a sustainable faith. So what is the third situation? The seed that fell amongst the thorns. The seed that fell amongst the thorns develops those roots. It actually works on that faith to get some maturity and some depth to it. But then what happens? These thorns come in and choke that seed and choke that plant. This is the one I most often see with our young people. This is one of our crises that we have in the church that's being studied and researched and talked about. Because here we have these kids, and I've grown up with them, and I've youth ministered to them, and I've pastored to them. And you see this faith that starts early, and it goes through Sunday school and developing and hearing all the stories and singing in church and being an acolyte and goes through youth group and goes to church camp and goes on mission trips. And these roots are developing, and they're there. But then what happens? They graduate high school, and they become independent adults. And time after time we see it, that when graduation from high school happens and independence happens, the world and its focus chokes the faith out of that young person. That the pressures of the world and what they say is important ends up taking over, and church and faith become something of the past. I grew up in a large youth group. I grew up in a pretty good-sized Methodist church. And I had a lot of friends at church, and we did all of that. At church every Sunday, at camp every summer, every mission trip. We were on fire, and church was a core part of who we are. And out of that large youth group, there are very few that I grew up with that are still in the church and practicing their faith. Why? Because the priorities went to jobs and sports, to activities, to distractions. It just got choked out of them by this world. And it's not just young people. It's adults too. That this world says the church isn't important. This world says faith isn't important. This world that says money and materials and power and prestige is more important than anything. When what we value and look up to are celebrities, and every day you look at the shopping aisle magazines and every single one of them is getting divorced or ending up in rehab. But this is what we look up to. The world that wants to choke that seed and that plant and take that faith right out of us if we're not strong enough to withstand it. But the good news is, Jesus says, and then there's that good soil. There's that good soil right there. And what does he say? But that seed gets planted, it gets strong roots, and it grows and produces a crop 30, 60, 100 times over. How does that happen? What was the difference in that person than the one with the thorns and the one with the rocks and the one on the path? Well, Jesus answers that question later on in his ministry We talked about it just this Friday night at our Fridays at First Bible study. When Jesus gets asked, what does it take to be my disciple? What does it take to be my follower? What does it take to be the good soil? And he says it takes everything. He says, it takes you denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. If you want to produce a crop, if you want to grow something, you have to pay attention to it every day. You have to work at caring for it. You have to work at feeding it and watering it and taking the weeds away from it. You have to work to make sure it gets just the right amount of sun. You have to make sure it has just the right amount of nutrients. You've got to protect it and tend it if you want it to really grow and thrive. And our faith is just the same way. If we want to be the good soil where God's word, God's message, God's love, God's grace is fully in us, it takes work every day. Feeding our faith, being in the word, being in prayer with God every day. Studying and developing our faith. Ensuring that God becomes a priority over this world. We're at a point now where statistics say the average Christian goes to church 1 to 2 Sundays a month. So here we have Jesus saying, faith to be practiced daily. And here we have where we're practicing 1 to 2 mornings a month. To develop the roots takes more commitment than that. It takes more commitment than checking a box and saying, I went and I sat in the pew today, I'm good for the week. It takes actually allowing God's word to penetrate into our mind and into our hearts. What does it take? Well, one thing I know, if a seed wants to fulfill its mission in life, it has to change and be transformed. It has to be broken open, develop roots, and grow up. For us to be the good soil, for God's word to be planted in us, we must be changed by it. To be transformed from that seed into strong roots and fruit-producing plants. That takes effort on our part. We want God to be there when we're in trouble. We want God to be there when the hard times hit. And sometimes we wonder why it seems we don't see him, why it seems like he isn't there. And sometimes it's because we're seeing the product of the work of our faith. If we're putting the least amount of work in, we're going to see the least amount coming out of it. If we're putting the maximum in, we're going to see the maximum coming out of it. We're going to see how our faith is strong. We're going to see how it produces that crop 30, 60, 100 times over. And then what are the strongest of crops? The strongest of crops are those ones that then produce other crops. Those ones that become seed-bearing for other plants to grow. So my question for you this morning, what kind of soil are you? Are you the path that's resistant to God penetrating in and becoming a part of you? Are you the rocky place where the faith kind of comes and goes depending on your situation in life? Are you trying to grow in the thorns where it's God versus the world and seems too often that the world is winning? Or are you working on being that good soil? Are you working on tending to your faith so that you will be the product of God's love and God's grace, sustained through no matter what comes at you from this world. Because that's God's goal, for his seed of his faith to be planted in us and to be producing 30, 60, and 100 times over. My friends, will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for your word that's full of the good news of how you created us, how you've taken care of us, and how your son came and died for us so that we will live with you eternally. We give you thanks for your word that challenges us, to be new people through it, that challenges us to love without bounds, that challenges us to have compassion eternally, that challenges us to seek to be your hands and feet in this world. We pray that you will help us to be the good soil where your word has been planted and that you are producing crops abounding through us and through the way that we interact with this world, not conforming to it, but rising above it. And may you help us to not dig up in doubt what we have planted in faith, so that the life that we have in you will be sustainable, rich, and fulfilling, but most of all, will be filled with joy unabounding. For all of this, we pray in your name, in the name of Jesus Christ, our teacher, our Savior. Amen.